Otis, are we on the stream? We are on the stream. Okay. I want to apologize from the board to you all for being late. We had scheduled this for 1:30. We had some difficult deliberations and couldn't get them finished in time. I also want to Leslie Radford wants to extend her apologies. She had a plane to catch and couldn't be here for the listener comments. I have a list of, and we will take a full half hour for this. Is there anybody that has to leave before 2:15? No, okay, so no problem. Let's see, we have nine. We have 3 minutes apiece. Nancy Delaney first, and then Max Blanchett.
My name is Nancy.
Start again, Nancy.
My name is Nancy Delaney. I was part of the unpaid staff as a programmer, board op, and production engineer for 16 years at KPFA in the 80s and early 90s, and I was an unpaid steward 7 years in the 80s. In KPFA, the other stations, and the LSBs, I see we are caught between values of corporate culture and community culture in our practice and in our experience of one another. A key example is the fact that listener sponsors pay the bulk of the salaries, yet there is a corporate assumption that salaries, especially the highest paid, need to be protected by secrecy. This secrecy feeds the divide between haves and have-nots, the privileged, and the so-called masses, yet these masses pay the bills. I question the corporate policy of keeping salaries secret from those who pay them. This secrecy creates a divide in our culture of radio communities between the privileged and in the know, and those who are meant to be manipulated, a subclass regarded with contempt by our practice. The subclass includes unpaid programmers, volunteers, listeners, even listener sponsors, and to some extent, even the LSBs. Everyone should know the salaries if we hope to keep things fair and hope to address what so deeply divides us in the LSBs, the stations, and our communities, and interpersonally.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Nancy Delaney.
Max Blanchett. Blanchet, sorry. And next is Daniel Borgstrom.
Good afternoon. I have a plea. It has to do with programming, and I have a recommendation to make. I think you should encourage the powers that be at the various stations to have some sort of sports programming. And I'll tell you a little anecdote. I grew up in the Caribbean as a teenager. I got exposed in some ways to American life because my father was a great fan of boxing. And I always listened to the fights involving Joe Louis and Sugar Ray Robinson. And through these fights, through listening to this sort of thing, I learned a great deal about American life, the great struggle in America involving what my father would call the American cousins. That was his reference to the African-American community in the U.S. We learned about the fights here following the Second World War. We learned about, well, my father thought highly of Joe Louis. For him, Joe Louis was the reincarnation of Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, Alexandre Pétion, Henri Christophe, all rolled in one. It's very, very important. My father, in his way, in the Haitian way, through a Haitian prism, was a black nationalist. So the fight of Joe Louis was very important for him. That was his fight. So I learned through him. And likewise with Sugar Ray Robinson, I learned a great deal. My father was a great admirer. He used to make comments. He said, look at that man. First of all, he's beautiful. It's more than just boxing. It's a high art form. Watch his legs. Watch his face. We learned through that. And I think that today there is space for sports in our programming. On the left, we tend to have a prejudice against that sort of thing. And I think we are, frankly, very stupid. Yeah. We're talking about reaching out to people we should do it through proper sports reporting. I don't know exactly how you do it, but I think there should be room for that, maybe 1 hour a month. We should do that here to reach out to people because, hey, that's part of life. I'll stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Daniel Borgstrom and then Fernando.
My name is Daniel Borgstrom. KPFA listener. I've been attending KPFA LSB meetings for the last 5 years. There's a song that's often played on KPFA, The Big Money. I'm sure you all know it, and perhaps have experienced some of that. You know, they're out in the river, their platoon leader, the captain and the platoon leaders got them out into this river. They're up to their necks and keep on going. Well, you know, we're still in the middle of the big money. We've been about a year and a half ago. Things kind of got turned around. I mean, we got saved. We could have gone down. We could have all been drowned. Pacifica could have been drowned a year and a half ago. It didn't happen, fortunately, thanks to including a lot of people here who worked to change that. And I do want to express my thanks to you and people who aren't here. At the same time, we are still in this middle of the big muddy, about up to here in water, being waterboarded, actually. We may not survive. We may. It was all due to the previous, due to people who ran it before, who were, and I attribute it to anti-democracy, to non-democracy. Now, we have this, I always grew up with this, always being told, well, dictatorships are efficient. That's what I was told. Dictatorships are not efficient. I was 4 years in the Marine Corps. That was not efficient. Everything I've seen about dictatorships was not efficient. You know, you hear the story, Mussolini made the trains run on time. Apparently not true. Well, Mussolini got himself in a war that he lost. He got hung up upside down, you know. That's not efficient. We hear about this, Hitler. He was this famous German efficiency. He lost the war. That was not efficient. We've heard about Napoleon. Napoleon was a brilliant general, brilliant strategist. He lost a war. That is not efficient. He was just out there thinking. He may have been brilliant, but he didn't have listened to people. If he had listened, he would not have got himself in that mess. Now, we know democracy is difficult. I mean, I think you just had a morning session of how difficult it can be. Yeah, it's difficult, but it sure beats the alternative. It's sure like we need democracy because the only dictatorships, they are not efficient. Democracy is the only hope. I mean, it doesn't always work.
Daniel, I think we've heard you, and I forgot to appoint a timekeeper. I think that's about 3 minutes.
I probably exceeded my 3 minutes. Thank you.
The timing is right, Tim.
Fernando and then Brian.
I'm here to appeal to you to, yesterday we got together and came up with some ideas, brainstorm about how to reach people out, how to get our audience to grow, how to get more people involved in the Pacifica mission and so forth. I'm here to appeal to one of the proposals that was put forth by yours truly, and that is don't give up on people. Yes. Make sure that you get every understanding of everything that makes the makeup, ethnic and national and cultural makeup of your signal area. Bring people forth. Bring them over to help you do outreach. When you do that, send them in a single zip code and a single neighborhood and to do door-to-door, heart-to-house promotion with brochures in hands and come out with a team of highly qualified producers to do special programming for every neighborhood. You focus on every neighborhood every single month, and at the end of the day, 6 months' time, you end up with a multi-ethnic group of new, fresh, committed volunteers, you come out with a new audience, a new listenership, and you come out with a big different results and a fund drive. Do not give up on your community. I'm perhaps the eternal optimist here, but I'm telling you here, your choices are either you go with that road or you go with the high rollers, the big donors that always, like in the corporations, believe on the military rule. Top down, no questions asked. The orders are there to be obeyed, not to be debated. So those are your choices. Please reconsider this. I'll be more than happy to come forth and help you organize what you need to make it happen, to coordinate door to door, district by district, neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city, to make sure the Pacifica stays on board and it makes a difference in this rising, fast-moving fascist state which we know, the United States of America. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Brian S. and then Richard Phelps.
I'm Brian from KPFA, KPFA listener sponsor. I let my membership in KPFT lapse this year, and I decided to come back to KPFA as a associate of my affiliation. Anyway, so I pledged in early June, on June 3rd, I think, and since I was going to be signing nomination petitions, I wanted to be sure that I was a bona fide member of KPFA first, so I asked the election local election supervisor if I was around the middle of the month, and she said no, and I waited a couple weeks, then I called the database guy, and I asked him, and I remember, by then, I guess I'd percolated through, and so I became a member on the 24th after sending in a check on the 3rd, so it takes about maybe 3 weeks to show up on the membership rolls after you pledge. So in any case, so as far as membership goes, this is my city card. This is from a station called KKCY that said, "City card entitles the bearer to the privileges and considerations due discriminating listeners to KKCY FM the city. It is not a credit card. It is not transferable. It is, however, pretty special, as is the bearer." So this is from a commercial station. Unfortunately, this station didn't make a go of it in 1989. Sold out to Jim Gabbert, so they're gone. This is my KSAN club card here. This is not the famous, legendary KSAN with Tom Donahue. This was the country version. So this one, apparently, you could take it around town and get discounts at places that they would announce on the air. I guess this station sort of swapped frequencies with KYLD in 1997, I guess, and they got reprogrammed, so they're gone too. But at least with these guys, you know, I didn't pay them anything, but they sent me a membership card, and I knew I was a member, which, you know, if you're going to be a membership corporation, it's good to know who's a member or not. And it's a publicity and partnerships and promotion. Thank you. So it's an idea that you know, Pacifica stations could have something like this, and you know, people ask about them. What is KPFA? What is KPFT? And maybe it'll work. And I don't think, you know, you've already outlasted these guys. You probably won't go defunct. You'll just leave a lot of souvenirs out there for people. So it's just an idea of token membership. You're not a card-carrying member. You're a T-shirt-wearing member.
Thank you.
You tell him.
Richard Phelps and then Sasha Futran.
Good afternoon. Richard Phelps, longtime listener, subscriber, and former chair of the local board. You know, this organization really, to me, has two functions, and they are to get out a lot of information to people in this country that are starved for the truth. And the other is to do it in a fashion that helps build a culture that we can be proud of. And I hate to say it, but I think you're failing in both. I see so many dirty tricks. I see so many games. I see Pacifica Monopoly, where everybody's, you know, fighting to see who gets to collect the rent, otherwise known as jobs, airtime, board seats, etc. And I've seen a lot of dirty fighting. I've seen a lot of elections try to be fixed. I've seen a lot of people distort the bylaws. I could write a book on this, and I may. And most of you won't like what I say about you because I'm not happy. But particularly for certain people, I'm going to apportion things today. And for the Justice and Unity and CL people and their followers, this is what you get. In spirit of the World Cup, that's what you get, a red card, because you have violated almost every principle of fair play that exists. For the local folks that I work with, particularly the ICR leadership, this is what you get for not trying to unify the people, for not being democratic in your own processes, and basically sort of starting to follow along the way the other people are doing it. And you know what happens? If you practice something enough, you become that. So that's what we've got to stop. I'm leaving. This is probably my last public comment for the foreseeable future. As the old saying goes, and excuse me, ladies, because this is a male saying, but I'm tired of pissing into the wind because it doesn't work. And I have given probably, I calculated, over 500 hours of free legal work to directors and people in this organization. Never charged a dime. In fact, in the last few months, I saved this organization $13,000 because of my own individual diligence at checking out some of the things that were going on in your legal stuff. And I guess that's a good way to say goodbye. I gave you $13,000. So that you wouldn't have got if I hadn't looked into things. What can I say? It's sad because this network, I came here to try to make it, help it be something with my legal and radio and 40 years of political activism. And all I see is things just going off sideways. So here's the litmus test for whether Pacific's going to make it. One of these days, one of the rank-and-file groups of either JUC or CL or ICR will stand up to their leadership when their leadership's planning to do something that's unprincipled and say, no, you can't do it. We have to play fair. We have to build a culture and not, oh, we have to win. When I see that happen, maybe I'll come back.
Thank you. Sasha Futran and then Lawrence Reyes.
Hi, Sasha Futran, KPFA board, and also a former KPFA board chair. I'm not too sure what to say after that. Yes, we do actually have our factions and our feuds. And I think actually on this board, from what I've heard, in terms of the JUC and others, I think sometimes you actually would be surprised at the things that we all agree on a national level in terms of a lot of the things that we'd like to see in place at KPFA and at our individual stations. I think you'll find that the factions on this board sometimes break down, actually, when it comes to specific issues, and I hope you all will consider that and not stick hard to your factions in those instances. I can't say that that's true on a local level at KPFA. I think our factions are very clear-cut and are there for a reason. We have the same problem locally as you do here with making decisions, and I guess you just spent 4 hours trying to do so on something. But I also would like to ask you to, when you're making those decisions, yes, there are provincial reasons. All of us have, and I think, you know, all of our PNB members, including from KPFA, have at times come here with something where we can't make a decision on a local level and we need to look to national to help us get through something and have a final word. And we need to do that. But we also need to do that thinking of the good of the whole. And clearly, you know, any station faltering in the system will affect the whole, and we don't have a lot of wiggle room at the moment. So I do want to ask you to, you know, please take that into consideration when you're looking at something that comes to you from a specific station and the effects that it will actually have on the network, the foundation as a whole, and to stick with your decisions because an awful lot of time is eaten up making decisions and then looking at and rescinding them. And it shouldn't be that difficult, you know, to judge these things and make good decisions. And we have the same problem, you know, on the local level too, obviously. And I do want to talk about one in particular that I mentioned in my other public comment at this meeting, which is your programming policy that you just sort of took whatever tiny little teeth it had, which were not really very many, and sort of now it needs dentures. I understand that people who are on the air are really alarmed about the idea of any curtailing what they might say on the air, and I do understand that. I come from a broadcasting and a media background. On the other hand, in the world in which I worked, you really could not use the airwaves to complain about the station that you work for. And if you stop and you think about it, there's really a good and logical reason for that. It's really damaging, you know, in terms of the average listener who's out there listening. A, they don't know what you're talking about. B, they don't want to. And they just want the programming, you know, to go on that they've tuned in for. They really don't want to hear about your griefs about the management. And we also go to those same listeners and ask them for money, and it's very negative marketing and publicity for our individual stations to do that. So I really hope you, since you do reconsider, just reconsider this one more time. I think there's a place to really look at that and not be damaging ourselves and airing private feuds between employees, one another, employees with management, on our airwaves. You know, I gave the example the last time I spoke a couple of days ago about the election and words against the election. And I know all of you are, you know, not in favor of that happening, but you got to stop and think about the other places in which it happens and give our ED some support here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you. Lawrence Reyes, and after that is Geneva Reese.
Good morning, Chair. Well, good afternoon. It's supposed to be here in the morning, but it didn't happen. And thank you, Eileen, for your hospitality yesterday. I really appreciate it. I have two things that I'd like to cover in the 3 minutes that I have. And the first thing has to do with waivers. And, of course, I've been about these waivers now since April. Now they've turned into a political hot potato because it's being leveraged to try to get an extension of the elections in order to grant waivers in some form. It's been convoluted that way, and I think that's a very sad statement for some on this board to be really reaching that way instead of going back to the LSPs, which is the responsibilities of the LSPs, to review these waivers. And we could have got that done in May, approaching June. Probably would have had it done before the original deadline. But that wasn't to happen because, again, some things are difficult and some things are not efficient. And so, and you can't convolute those two words and those two meanings of what is difficult and what is efficient. What is efficient is to review the waivers and to grant them or deny them. What is difficult is to try to get an extension or extensions after the rules have been already established. And we are adults and we should follow rules. I mean, if there's a red light, we could either step at the red light or we could keep going through the red light. And we can accept the consequences as a result of that. If we stop at the red light, we know that we made the right decision or the conformed decision, whatever that may be. The other thing I'd like to cover is the matter of Lynn Stewart. As a person who has worked in the arena of political prisoners and trying to free all political prisoners now since I was a child, I hope that this board will consider whatever it can to pass a resolution condemning the sentencing of Lynn Stewart, a 70-year-old elder, a people's lawyer, a defender of the poor and the disenfranchised, and pass a resolution condemning and doing whatever else is possible to not just pass a resolution on paper, but to actually give it some teeth, put it on the websites, publicize it as and pursue it that way, as you have pursued other resolutions, because that's the only way that you will offer justice. Thank you, and I'll see you in October.
Thank you. Geneva Reese, followed by Virginia Browning.
Hello. I'm Geneva Reese. I'm Summer's mother. and I'm from New York. And I'm not sure what to say because I don't know what the latest update is, and some of my concerns undoubtedly have been addressed this weekend, whether successfully or not, I have no idea. So they may be out of date, so I can only really speak to what I hear coming over the airwaves, and some of it is not happy. The elections are the first thing that come to mind. They're a disaster, and listening to the ads for them is horrifying. They're inaccurate. They're incorrect in a major way that is going to only attract more troublemakers and not competent people ready to make hard decisions. Seems to me we already have enough people on these boards who are not prepared to make hard decisions. When faced with people who are stealing from the foundation, who are negligent, who are not performing and doing the tasks that their job description entails, and who then lie about it to cover up. And then I hear months later they're still working for the foundation. I'm asking why, and I hear back that because we can't get enough votes together on the boards to vote them and fire them. And I just don't understand how you can go on running a multi-million-dollar organization and not fire people who steal and lie, and who just don't do their job, and force people like my daughter who are unpaid to do the jobs that people who are getting salaries should be doing. And not only is she an unpaid worker in this ridiculous farce, but I am too, because my career is suffering because of her involvement with this station. And all of us put in mega hours. She has a child to raise. I mean, we have people depending on us, and we sacrifice thousands of hours for this station for people who evidently don't have the guts, the fortitude, and the intelligence to fire people who are stealing from us. And I don't understand how to go beyond that. If you can't straighten out malfeasance and fire people who deserve it and give positions to people who deserve it, then I don't know, think there's any hope. And the further observation before I run out of time, this is not organized because it certainly isn't planned any better than some of the stuff you people do is, and that is broadcasting on the air when soliciting for these elections, which I said are the farce, there have been like three announcements a week, signing schedules at 10 in the morning on a Sunday when no one's either up, or if they are, they're either going to church or recovering from the night before, to announcing that people running on the board, that the board exercise some kind of control over programming, which is an absolute lie. If the board exercised control over programming, there's a hope we might have better programming, because right now it's a disaster. And you people aren't doing your job, and I don't even know where to start fixing it. There is no authority. The board makes decisions and passes resolutions that everybody else ignores. The hired staff seem to think that this foundation exists to provide them with full employment. They don't give a damn about the goals of the foundation. So I don't know where to even begin, but you people have more work to do than you're getting done. So something has to be cut, and I think it ought to be the bullshit. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is... Folks... Next is Virginia Browning, followed by Serene Roberts.
Okay, well, I'm not even, I didn't hear whose mother you are, but I not, and so I'm not sure if you're from KPFA or somewhere else, but.
Summer.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
So, because we haven't had any at 10 in the morning. I think we've had our signing events at good times. And I wasn't going to speak, but then I heard Sasha, and I know you guys have all heard everything before, but I do appreciate that you take some time to hear from listeners because maybe it matters to hear it again. I am not sure what you finally passed. I heard these things. She said something without dentures. I wasn't even sure what it was you were talking about because I came into that one late yesterday, but if it was about I think you should have at least equal, it should be mandated that there at least be equal time on the air to this disinformation that's going out about the elections. It needs to not be voluntary or anything else, and maybe I'm getting it mixed up with something else, but it needs to be mandatory that if you're allowing staff members to go on the air saying the elections are no good, then you need to have it mandated that there's equal time in the same time slots. And the election supervisors, as always, need your support in a big way to get these things done. Yes, they supposedly have the mandate to go and fight with the management at these stations, but they need a huge amount of support to do that. They can't do it all by themselves. As for Lynn Stewart, I think what the person said was really good. I think that as much as people can do as a concerted body to try and help that situation, the better. Thanks.
Thank you. Serene Roberts, followed by William Hirvagen. I gather we're going to do it in the opposite order. All right.
Yes, I'm not Serene. I'm William Hirvagen, WBAI New York. No, there's nothing wrong with Serene, but I'm not she. Form 990 from the IRS was filed by CFO LaVarne Williams without being sent to the audit committee. She later falsely claimed it had not only been sent, but reviewed by the audit committee. The audit committee and Pacifica's outside auditor found that the 990 form was filled with shortcomings and should be amended, which is not an unusual event in the 990 world. Yesterday, we witnessed the CFO. That's you. Oh, I thought you left the room. I'm glad you're here. Yesterday, we witnessed the CFO attempting to shift the focus from her errors and misstatements to the length of time the audit committee would have next year to review the Form 990, as if the time period had something to do with this year's problem. LaVarne Williams went even further, saying that the 990 did not, quote, have to, unquote, be amended. While technically there is no requirement to amend, the audit committee and Tony Pohl, the outside auditor, advised that it would be the best for Pacifica to file the suggested amendments. This all-too-typical shifting of focus and or answers to different areas by the CFO should be unacceptable. I suggest this body may need to direct its employee to do such amended filing. Yesterday's approval of a slightly watered-down gag rule with some euphemistic title is an embarrassment and takes the current coup, which some in New York call the April Fool's Day coup, another step closer to the conditions many here fought to overturn in the 1999-2000 coup, which in New York is called the Christmas coup. Shame on the approvers. I wonder how many secrets were discussed at this morning's executive session, which actually should not be so discussed at such meetings. The bylaws include, for example, personnel issues, proprietary information, thank you, litigation, thank you, was for the one-minute warning. I'm not on the Internet constantly, so I can only wonder if general statement of the basis on which all or part of said meeting was closed is ever issued after, as required by the bylaws, after such secret meetings. For those of you concerned about the direction of events here at Pacifica, please stay strong and pay close attention.
Thank you. Serene Roberts?
Chair?
Yes.
A point of information. Could I ask that everyone put their phone on vibrate?
While murmuring by a staff person to someone making a listener comment is out of order. Techie person. You're welcome. Okay. Hi, everyone. A few things. It was really kind of amusing to hear all the rage yesterday, and I do mean rage because whenever I think of a particular LA member's treatment, although he's not unique in this, he's accompanied by a female member from the same city, raging at the NES about something or the other all the time. They were actually quite abusive and obscene on any number of elections committee calls and certainly on a PNB call a couple of months ago, and I'm as disappointed as I am in the general behavior of this board majority. That exhibition and your allowing it was particularly shameful. But it was really amusing to hear them yesterday begging for extensions and waivers and so on and so forth, because I remember Nia Bediako bringing such a motion about extending waivers and extending deadlines like 2 months ago, and she was soundly defeated in her attempt to include, you know, those awful poor people who want to join the foundation. So I thought that was really interesting. I wasn't here for the visual display of the stomping out and all of that, but I heard it was quite good. The Tea Party Express recently got expelled from the Tea Party, and their leader resigned because he said something along the lines of mocking Ben Jealous and every person of color and anybody interested in racial justice, that we would have said to Abe Lincoln, well, we don't cotton to emancipation because you actually have to work hard after you get that. And that expression of, quote, racism was rejected even by the Tea Partiers. But amazingly enough, within Pacifica, it is still sanctioned. I understand that Mr. Brown, who, as you know, has engaged in a shameful, or what would be shameful if he had any shame, which apparently he doesn't, and the board majority in New York supports him, and the board majority here apparently supports him, because I think at the last meeting I heard rumors that he was going to be taking over for us and helping us. In fact, he included in his candidate statement some garbage about how enthused he is about being able to help us do things right now, and I do mean right as opposed to left. But even the Tea Parties partiers could recognize the problem. The Pacifica National Board fails to see it. Go figure. At KPFA yesterday, I saw they had something up, I guess, commemorating the 11th anniversary of the June 1999 coup and lockout, but in WBAI mentioning that, in fact, a coup happened is against the rules, and that's why programmers are currently suspended and can't get a response from human resources, executive director, general managers, 1, 2, 3, 4, or anyone about what the status of the programs are, because a coup is only a coup if you're on the side of the crew that takes control, apparently. Oh, I'm sorry, of the side that's locked out. For those of you who are moving in with your team and your operation and your plan, it's not a coup, it's a change in management. Just like, you know, El Salvador, change in management. Change in management. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes listener comments. We are past time to adjourn. Unless I hear some motion to extend time, that's exactly what we'll do. Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.